It's Jim Cramer here. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street. Don't miss a minute of the action.
Well, good morning and welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm David Faber with Jim Cramer, and we are live from the New York Stock Exchange. Carl has this morning off. Let's give you a look at futures as we get ready to begin trading 1.5 hour from now. And you can see we're set up for a slightly, a mixed bag, slightly higher open, perhaps. Let's get to our roadmap this morning. It does start with that record run for stocks, the S&P nearing its best year since 1997. And Wall Street is poised for a higher open. You saw it there a bit, at least, on the heels of the historic impeachment of President Trump. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin is going to join us exclusively in the next hour. We're going to discuss the president's post-impeachment economic agenda, essentially the economic agenda really between now and the election next year. Of course, the House readying that vote on the USMCA, an important trade agreement. Plus, chips are continuing to outperform. Micron shares are rallying after an earnings beat. The CEO will join us in Squawk Alley. And IAC is spinning off online dating service Match Group. All of it to its shareholders. Shares are climbing ahead of the bell. We'll look into that interesting Diller transaction. Though we begin today, of course, with the markets one day after the impeachment of the president. It was an interesting evening.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. You know, David, this is the beginning of an underperformance period if we find, if we analogize to Clinton. The only difference is that there were Democrats who joined Republicans in the impeachment process because they felt it was a cut-and-dried violation of the lying about the sex act.
It was one count of perjury,
right,
about lying about the sex act. Yeah.
You know, so there was a little more suspense than there is now. It wasn't viewed as a campaign event, so to speak, but it was a second term. But I would just be just saying that history says 2 to 3% pullback here.
All right, let's talk more markets, because as we made clear yesterday, the markets don't seem to be focused at all on impeachment. There are a lot of other things, of course, markets are focused on. We discuss them,
right,
whether it's trade. We do have the vote on the USMCA. That was a positive, certainly seen as a positive by the markets. Phase one of the China deal.
Very positive.
Which we will talk to Secretary Mnuchin about, potentially a significant positive. And we're kind of getting some bits and pieces of earnings. You've also talked about, I don't want to call it a turn in Europe, but at least some green shoots, I guess.
Yeah, and look, don't forget, as Fred Smith said, you have ricochet bullets from China during the trade war, obviously, so therefore you can reverse a little bit of that. It's funny, we always want to see autos do well. They're doing okay. They're having some trouble making electric vehicles there. Well, you know who that benefits. Going to make it so Tesla goes to the fabled $420 price target that Elon Musk had. $420 being, of course, the 420 was the code call for marijuana.
Marijuana, right?
Yeah. Catching people smoking marijuana in progress in California.
You know what? Thank you. I honestly didn't really know what the 420 derived from. Now I get it. It's a 420.
Okay. I am a fount of information.
You would have thought that I would have known that, because I knew the number had significance, but I didn't really know where it derived from, a police call saying somebody smoked.
Well, Elon Musk is, sui generis. That stock is kind of goes up every day because it's a momentum stock.
Well, it's up 18% for the year, of course, after it having been down significantly.
David,
so it's had a huge rally, has Tesla.
The two stocks that people have come
from the lows, you see it there back in June.
Tesla and Netflix, suddenly everyone's saying 2020 is going to be a big year. The numbers people are using for Tesla, actual numbers, profits, is starting to really freak out the bears. And the Netflix, a lot of people freaked out because of Disney Plus. One after another of these analysts comes out and say that Netflix is having just a barn burner, a lot of foreign stuff. And you got to go to other countries to see how powerful Netflix is.
Well, that's a good point, and they did give us a lot more transparency in terms of the foreign numbers a couple days ago in that filing to give you a census to the growth. And obviously, we know how important it is. There is still an argument to be made, though, that their ability to actually keep domestic subs is going to be challenged to a certain extent by Disney Plus, and that you're going to start to see higher churn.
Yeah, but Terry Heath today, whom I really like, he says, no, don't worry about it. And then there's a piece of research out by Pivotal talking about the wall of worry and heavy short interest and remain bulls. David, when you get the email, usually around 7 o'clock, about what's playing on Netflix tonight, do you click and watch?
I don't get the email. I didn't know there was an email. Who's that sent by?
Reed. by Netflix.
Oh, no.
What do you think, Disney
that.
Played? Bob Iger sends it to me.
Well, Bob Iger is better at communicating than Reed Hastings, at least with me.
But they tell you what to watch, and I always, they know me so well.
Yeah. I don't get the email.
Jason Gerwitz says that Fout is coming.
Really?
Yeah,
another sixth season
great.
Of Fout.
Yeah, Jason being the most.
We're working our way slowly through the Crown. Another season.
The know, Crown?
A new season of The
yeah,
Crown.
Yeah, Wilf had that. He had the early.
Haven't gotten to Amazon yet to watch
it.
Mrs. Maisel, which I want to do, of course.
Everyone,
I hear the new season.
Raves.
Season. I
everyone
love that
raves.
First two seasons.
But David,
back to
Micron is
yeah,
the story.
Yes, I want to get back to stocks, and we do want to talk about Micron.
It's Sanjay. Sanjay Mehrotra. He sat right there, David. He sat right there, and he called the bottom. A lot of people were saying this conference call is the bottom. He called it. Mid-40s. He sat right there. He sat in David Abney's chair, being the CEO of UPS.
UPS. Well, let's listen to him, what he had to say, of course, CEO of Micron.
So you bought 80 million shares. There is still a huge amount of firepower in your buyback. That's only $2.7 billion. You have a lot of cash. Stock at $45.46. Go to your board, go to your treasurer, go to your CFO and say, let's go back in. Because I understand that you did not buy stock when it went to the high 40s, low 50s. This is your sweet spot, and you're going to put money to work after this interview.
I don't understand. That was just
that was
you
just
talking.
It's kind of strange.
That was really odd.
More it would be Sanjay.
What was that?
Okay, so let me give you the...
Do you want to actually tell us what he had to say?
Yes, but he
after
was...
we listen to your... Who cut that?
Okay.
All right, Jim.
Okay, what he said was that this was indeed that he would put money to work, but it didn't... He put almost no money to work. Why? Because it never went low. It never really went below that. And last night on the call was pretty seminal. He said... He actually literally said fiscal second quarter, this was the quarter just said, ended, was the first, will mark the bottom. Now, we heard that, by the way, from Alan Graf at FedEx the other day, CFO. No, Graf was probably wrong. Although I was wrong about Rite Aid. I thought Rite Aid were a big quarter. I have like, you know, sunny side ups on my face from that. But, yeah, he did. Sanjay really did say that that was going to be the bottom. And it is. DRAM prices are okay. The deceleration. Remember, they make DRAM.
What
and
can
make
I,
NAND.
You know, beyond Micron, which I...
Well, Micron also got a Huawei exemption.
What can I look through from Micron to sort of get a better sense into what else?
Skyworks Solutions.
Okay.
Corvo.
Corvo. Yep.
That was supposed to be funny.
Both, of course, large customers of Apple's or Apple's large
customers.
Yeah,
NXPI. I'll look through Texas Instruments. And because of what happened with Huawei, are they able to ship? Then you have to buy Marvell Technologies.
Right.
Not Marvell, the Fox to Disney.
No.
But Marvell Technologies,
yes,
because I think they get Huawei was a major customer. And we see a lot of kind of lovey-dovey stuff between the United States and China. And don't forget, former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger has been shuttling back and forth quietly. You'll be able to ask Mnuchin about this. And he says that she would rather deal with Trump than any of the Democrats, mostly because the Democrats care a lot about human rights. Not that Trump doesn't care.
Well, speaking of politics and the Democrats and Republicans, let's get down to Elon Mui in Washington, of course, for the day after the impeachment of the president. Good morning, Elon.
Good morning, David. Well, we are waiting for Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to take to the floor in just about half an hour. I am told that he will call the process of impeachment in the House the most rushed, the least thorough, and the most unfair impeachment inquiry in modern history. Now, Republicans and Democrats have already begun sparring over what a Senate trial would look like. Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is demanding that senators be able to hear from witnesses, including acting White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney. McConnell has dismissed that idea, and today he will call Schumer's request just trying to fix House Democrats' failure for them. Remember, Mulvaney did not testify in the House. There has also been some question over when exactly the Senate would receive those articles of impeachment from the House. Last night after the votes, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi would not commit to a timeline for sending them over until she had more clarity on the rules for a trial in the Senate.
This is what I don't consider a fair trial. That Leader McConnell has stated that he's not an impartial juror, that he's going to take his cues, in quotes, from the White House, and he is working in total coordination with the White House Counsel's office.
Now, this morning, McConnell will say that this is just a sign that Democrats may be too afraid to move forward. David, we have learned that Pelosi and Schumer are expecting to meet later on this morning to discuss their next steps.
Okay. And we will be listening for your updates, Elon. Thank you, Elon Moy.
Can I give you a conspiracy theory?
I prefer you didn't.
Speaker, okay, I'm going to give it to you anyway. Speaker Pelosi delays this. Remember, they're talking about delaying.
Yes, there
which
has
would
been
make the senators available to campaign for president have to sit there all day for trial. She is not a friend of Elizabeth Warren. There's my.
It's a bit of a conspiracy.
Black helicopter.
Not the worst one I've ever heard, at least.
Well, thank
at least
you. That's right. Not, I think that's standing with faint praise.
Yeah.
David, what we should do is go into IAC.
I would like to, actually. It is a corporate story this morning, and we've got a few of them. Talked about Micron earnings, but IAC announced its plans to separate the dating service operator Match Group entirely from the company. Now, IAC currently holds a controlling stake in the parent, of course, of apps like Tinder. The transaction is expected to be a tax-free spin. The two companies anticipate completion in the second quarter of 2020. Jim, what's interesting is that Barry Diller, who, by the way, I think sometimes may not get enough credit for all the value he's created through all the different spins and various things that he has done. And here's another example of that. But what's interesting is here, it's the first time I can remember where they've completely let something go. In other words, there's not going to be any ownership by IAC of Match. Now, Diller himself will own 6%. But I think what's important to note here is that Match will become a one-vote, one-share company. All right, so its governance changes. And what will that allow for? Index Holdings to own it.
Oh.
Indexers to own it.
Oh.
Because, and that could conceivably create some buying power. You can get indexed. The other question is, could it get bought? In other words, again, no control whatsoever of IAC. Would it become potentially an acquisition target? Now, it's hard to imagine whether Facebook will ever be allowed to do another deal.
I was going to say that if I were, maybe there's fear of Facebook, FOF.
But at the same time, you could also imagine a world in which they'd be interested in at least taking a look, as might others. So a couple
Joey,
of things here to note.
The CEO?
Yeah.
He is one smart guy.
Pal Joey?
Yeah, Pal Joey. Pal Joey lives down the block from me.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. My wife says he's a good guy, too. Yeah, that's a nice guy.
So we'll keep an eye
Match
on both those
Match is good,
shares.
David. Match has great numbers. The reservation, yes, has been Facebook. Facebook can't do the offer it, and it's really good. I want to go back to
this
Barry
Diller. They are also,
by
the way, it's what, a $3 dividend as well that they're going to be sending to IAC shareholders.
Why does Barry Diller get not? Why does he get so little credit?
Do you really think he gets so little credit? I'm not sure I would say that. We treat him as though he's a sage.
He is
don't
a
we?
Sage. He's a great sage. You know who else is a sage?
He's building that island right off, Diller's Island, that incredible pier that he's creating. Have you seen it?
David,
you taking a look at it?
David, let me give you a little sage advice. No man's an island. Okay, Chief. You know who delivered a chief
me? At 9:13? You're chief.
Oh, what the hell? Why not? This is it's Christmas week. ConAgra last night. Sean Connolly. Great number. David, frozen foods.
Yeah.
And Slim Jim. Millennials love beef jerky. They do.
I don't understand that.
They love beef. They love frozen food. Why? Because they're cheap as all get out. They're frugal. And they love beef jerky. By the way, Hunt's tomatoes is one of your personal favorites. I'm sure I have when I was growing up. Chef Boyardee improved.
Well, you know me and Chef Boyardee go way back.
Yeah.
The chef and I spent a lot of time together in my 20s.
Did they?
Oh, a lot. Yeah.
I did too. Well, look, we served how about Tang? We went back to Tang.
Yeah, I didn't.
Astronauts used it.
My diet was basically Chef Boyardee and Chips Ahoy cookies.
Did your
all
mother,
of my buddies can attest to that. That's
water
what the stove
down?
Actually was never opened.
Did your mother, actually I'm on TV right now, sir. Did your mother water down the Welch's grape juice?
No.
And then tell you that we weren't poor? Don't worry.
No,
it's just everyone waters.
We had Hawaiian punch. Yeah. Remember that?
Okay.
You know what that did to me. All right. Coming up, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin as Congress gets ready to vote on the USMCA. Up next, though, we're going to have Jim's Mad Dash, and we'll count you down to the opening bell. All right, let's get to a mad dash as we count down to the opening bell. We've got about 13 minutes before we get started with trading here at the New York Stock Exchange. I like to still call it Google, but its name is Alphabet.
Baird's got a little sense of humor. They call it Google, the other e-commerce powerhouse, kind of like the other white meat pork, which is in the news. David, This, did you know that Google has this bear piece, 1/3 share of U.S. e-commerce? I read this as a good and bad piece. This piece says that their Alphabet is incredibly powerful. Now, there'll be some state attorney general who reads this and says, you know what? I want to be governor, and goes after these guys. Not unlike, David, the state's attorney general trying to block the merger that you're covering.
Right.
I mean, this is too powerful. Alphabet is too powerful.
One-third of what are they referring to? What does that mean?
Well, just kind of the, just all the transactions, search, but... ad product innovation. Ruth Porat's a genius. She's the CFO.
I'm aware who she is.
She's a genius.
Genius.
Her father was escaped from the Holocaust. Without ever going to finishing college, was a professor of physics and then computer science. Helped start the computer science department at Stanford. How great is she?
If you say so, I don't really know Ruth very well.
Well, you better get on the case.
She's not really particularly interested, but I will tell you that, as you well know, the important change there is that neither one of the founders is going to be involved in the day-to-day operations of the company any longer.
Yeah, founders.
Anything in the note about that?
No, it's just
Pinchai really takes over fully, and whether or not those new bets are going to be de-emphasized in some way.
Pinchai really not really mentioned in this thing. But I remember the word is, David, that there will be more discipline. And they won't just decide to loot autonomous vehicles. Waymo, that's the real problem. David, they have to do a gazillion simulations. No one even knows how they do on black ice.
Okay, I didn't know that either. Well, back to Tesla, which has got
real, oh my God, 420.
Real drive conditions.
420.
All those cars out there.
Ever since Musk stopped tweeting, that stock started going
up. I'll tell you, I know you're right.
When I got behind it.
Every non-tweet has been worth
it. I got behind it big.
All right, there's a look at Alphabet as you see it right behind my head there. By the way, don't forget Steven Mnuchin. He's the Treasury Secretary of the United States. He'll be our guest in the 10 o'clock hour of Squawk on the Street this morning. We got a lot more for you, including an opening bell 10 minutes away. All right, there's a look at futures. Of course, we got an opening bell 8 minutes away. We are looking for a up open, as you can see right there, at least, if the futures hold. We'll see. Watching CNBC Squawk on the Street. We're live from the financial capital of the world. Yes, it still is, I think. It's fair to say New York. We'll keep saying it is, even if it's not. We got an opening bell about 4.5 minutes from now. You still think New York's financial capital of the world?
Yes. Well, no, actually, I think it's London.
Okay.
You need it in between. It's when I was at Goldman, the book was passed from Asia.
Even with Brexit, you think it's going to be London?
Well, no, that's a very good point.
Yeah.
It's just that I just feel like that. This is the China versus U.S. where the book is passed. If you were in London, you would probably have the best
because you
handle.
Got both. Right.
You'd have the best handle on things unless you get up at 3:30 like I do and have a handle on it.
Yes, you do.
My eye doctor yesterday said I got to end that. He says my eyes are open too long a day.
Your eyes are open and your mouth is open too much, too. You talk too much and you look at too much.
I canceled radio. You know, I had a contract with Les Moonves there. I mentioned him. And I had to get out of it because my ENT person counted the words I was saying each day. I was saying 15,000 words a day. The average American can only say 10,000. So I was developing nodes in my throat.
That's what they can say. Not that they do say.
No, but 15,000 words.
Most Americans probably only say a few thousand words. Right. You're saying 15,000.
Right.
And you're up since 3:30. Given how long you've already been awake, Jim.
Yes.
What do you think the key to the market's going to be this morning?
I don't want to repeat the Micron, but you know what I'll do? David, I'll do something negative because I think the market's overbought here.
Okay.
I'm going to do the shortfall in a restaurant that you know, that I'm sure you like, as I do, Olive Garden at Darden. And you know, people are looking for literally twice what Gene Lee was able to get you at Olive Garden. And so we're looking for implications. There's a conference call going on right now. So I'm going to say, since I don't think the market is, I think the market's in a tepid mode. It's a sales miss and higher meat costs. And you know why? The theme that I keep giving you, African swine fever. People do not understand that this is decimating hog herds all over the world.
Not except, here.
No, because we have biosecurity and it's causing food to go up in price. Now, remember, even communist party regimes which everyone says General Xi's so powerful, you know, they call him the king over there, are susceptible to food inflation, a la Tiananmen Square. So let's stay close to food inflation.
Yes.
And hope that Zoetis finds a cure to this airborne, highly contagious, almost like the Stand illness. Never forget the Lincoln Tunnel scene in the movie, in the book, The Stand.
I won't forget that. And as you point out and have made people aware of, it is a very significant issue, this swine flu, particularly in China, where even the farmers are burying the pigs too close. That's how contagious it is, too close.
Why?
And therefore, it's still.
This is not talked about enough. It could be the reason, you know, this is the reason why they're going to have to spend $40 billion, the Chinese, because they eat a lot of pork.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to the Secretary of the Treasury about those targets for the agricultural purchases. Jim, Boeing's been enough.
That would be great to do.
What?
That would be great to ask Secretary Mnuchin.
I think I will. We can ask him that. I wanted to hit Boeing briefly before we get to the opening bell. Phil LeBeau's confirming President Trump had a phone conversation with CEO Dennis Muilenburg prior to the suspension of the 737 MAX production. Muilenburg told the president the halt will be temporary and there will be no layoffs. We know all that.
How do they have no layoffs? Are they ever going to have a cash flow?
I think many people are wondering, frankly, when it comes to Mr. Muilenburg, who's going to be the CEO after him?
Well, David, I don't know. I mean, this stock, certainly not because of the stock, which held up incredibly well.
Not because of the stock.
No.
But it's still hard to imagine he keeps his job.
I don't like to speculate on that.
Really? I can't get you to. You'll talk about virtually anything.
15,000 words worth.
Yeah, but not that.
I don't know. I mean,
you don't want it.
He's trying.
Okay.
He's trying.
All right.
Now I know that
that's
the great, the former great coach Parcells would say, I don't want trying.
I want winning.
Well, look, the guy tried to join the show. Might as well clap.
I know. Yeah, that was interesting. All right, there it is. The claps are building here. Of course, we are going to get an opening bell. You can see the real-time exchange back at our headquarters in Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey. Here at the big board as we get ready. 2-1. Imagine a Sarah for coping with loss and over the NASDAQ. That's Leslie Stone. That's the provider of financial services, execution,
David,
and market intelligence.
David, I want to just point something out.
Please.
The moment the bell rang, Tesla started going up. I mean, it's habitual at this point. 420, code 420, 2150 to 2280. Come in, please.
You're positive on Tesla. Well,
I found they have earnings. He's no longer antagonizing the SEC. And the other guys are having trouble making the product. I happened to drive in the X and thought it was the coolest thing in the world. And my wife loves the flatulence button.
When did you drive in the X?
6 weeks ago, when the stock was much lower, and that's when I had to go positive because it was one of the greatest experiences. Thank you, Amy Chang, board member Procter & Gamble and officer at Cisco.
We've all had opportunities to talk to people who own the product or drive in it. I don't own one, obviously.
You've never even driven it.
That is not true. I drive all the time.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. It's new. It's news.
I do. During the day, but on the weekends.
It's news that you do something.
Very little. As little as possible.
Well, have you ever been to the Burlington near you?
I've never been to a Burlington.
You don't even know what a bargain is, do you?
Oh, I know what a bargain is. Right. Yeah, you know what a bargain is? Not buying anything.
Well, that's you.
Yeah.
That's you.
That's me.
See this suit, Dave? This Brioni 180 count?
You wouldn't catch me.
It's worth all 10 of your suits. I think that's important to point out.
It's very important.
Dave, let's keep going.
Let's just keep going.
Intel can't make the chips, David. That's one of the takeaways from the Micron.
Okay.
It's happy again. Which, you know what's going to impact? HP. And you haven't commented on HP in a
We haven't
very
talked
long time.
About HP and Xerox. It's not as though it's not ongoing, but I don't have a lot of news at this point in terms
I think
of Xerox's
I don't know how they make the quarter.
You don't know how HP makes
not
the quarter.
Not with Intel still not making enough chips. I do think there's another reason to buy Lisa Su.
What did they just they cut back on their PC production? I mean, they just can't make it.
It's like they're having a production problem, a yield problem.
Right.
So what you're going to see is AMD is going to go up again. NVIDIA is going to go up again because people now feeling that the EU said yes to the Mellanox NVIDIA deal. and therefore we think that the Chinese suit.
Still waiting on the Chinese. Now, we got phase one, so one would expect that the prospects for an antitrust approval from SAMR, that is the organization in China that rules on these things, would be improved.
And Jensen Huang promised me it would.
I know he did. That was a long time ago.
I know. He said it would be the first quarter. Yeah. NVIDIA continues to go up, David, because of a series of deals they're making with Chinese companies and because of gaming. Mm-hmm. Tencent Games took down a lot of their chips. NVIDIA, of course, is a marvel.
Yep.
They do one of the things that was so funny on the Micron, not funny, but you can ask Sanjay, soon we will have artificial intelligence chips.
Right.
Soon. I mean, the artificial intelligence chips that Sanjay, that Jensen has already, they're the ones, remember what I told you? Not unlike the scene in Manchurian Candidate, go jump in a lake, and then Frank Sinatra, and then you have to watch Lawrence Harvey go jump, he jumps in a lake. They understand that that's hyperbole, and it's idiom.
Mm-hmm.
Idiom.
You're starting to understand a lot of things. In fact, yesterday I was at a conference where one gentleman offered the idea that within 10 years you're going to have sitcoms created by machines and acted by machines. In other words, things that look like human beings but aren't actually human, that David, are creations.
David, listen to me.
And
Sunshine, listen to me. When I was out with Jensen, he told me, he said, listen, Jim, in a couple years, here's what happened, 5 years. Let's say you are bored or you don't want to go out. You can create a virtual cocktail party of people you like. So he said, let's say you like Beethoven. You can put people in the room who know all about the sonatas. He said, let's say you like poetry. You can put people in the room who are poets. They're yours. They're your creations. They're your simulations. Not unlike what Elon Musk called me. But that'll be real.
Wow.
Be like, hey, you know what? I like the joy.
It'll be the holodeck on Star Trek. That's what it'll basically be.
Yeah. You said in a few years.
The second
generation
Star
Trek. You don't have to deal with any. The millennials who hate people to begin with will just create people they like and text them. It's Jensen Huang. He's so much smarter than everyone else. You know what? When you're out there, David.
Yes.
They don't say that Mark Zuckerberg's smarter than everybody.
No.
They say that Jensen Huang's the smartest man on Earth.
On Earth.
On Earth.
7+ billion people, and he's the smartest.
On Earth. And he's the coolest, by the way. Wears a black jacket.
Does wear that cool black jacket.
I like him. I'm going to say this. It's the year of Jensen Huang, 2020. Right.
Really?
Yeah.
Because 2017 was a pretty good year, right?
It's the year of Jensen Huang.
The stock was up so much.
He is so great that, I named my dog NVIDIA.
I'm aware of the dog's name, right. Yes. Yes.
Do you know that Jensen Huang gave me an IT card for the dog? He said he could come and go all he wanted?
No.
Jeez.
Speaking of chips, this Broadcom story from yesterday. In fact, I'd been working on it as well.
$10 billion.
It's not going to be 10.
Why not?
They are. They do have the RF business. They kind of telegraphed it in the last earnings call. And even if you go back two earnings calls ago when they had the shortfall, remember?
Right.
But they are segregating the sort of the financials and repositioning the financials, sort of creating what was a non-core part of the financials for this wireless RF.
Okay.
Apple's the big buyer, or
low
one of
margin,
the big
David.
Buyers.
Low margin. What you got there on the phone?
Nothing.
Well, then why'd you look at it?
Because I wanted to make sure it wasn't something significant.
Well, you had a guy trying to shake my hand.
Yes,
you're making phone calls.
No, this could be news.
David, this is TV.
It's text. This is news by
text. All right, go take
text.
It. I can take it
from
here.
No. I was explaining to you what's going on with Broadcom. I'm going to continue to.
It's
so
low
just
margin.
Listen.
You think
it
Apple?
Is low margin. No, I don't think Apple's a buyer.
You mean Qorvo?
Qorvo may not want more exposure to Apple.
Skyworks? Oh, same
not
thing.
Want more exposure to.
Well, who would want more?
And so this $10 billion number that was in the Wall Street Journal story, maybe Qualcomm, I don't know.
Qualcomm would be a natural. But Qualcomm has so much cash.
But it may be overstating it. $10 billion is not the number I'm hearing. Now, there are some other questions about the Wi-Fi business and what they'll do there. Again, Apple, from what I understand, even though you could argue they were interested in vertically integrating, not here. And here they're interested in diversifying their supply base, hence they're not going to be a buyer. Potential
any
buyer.
Any problems with Chinese regulation on that? Or if
don't know. Don't know.
That's very low-end technology.
And you can see it's having absolutely no impact whatsoever
so
on the stock price.
Why did you just spend 2.5 minutes on it?
Because it's important, and it was out yesterday, so it may have sent the stock up yesterday. That's what I kind of, so.
Okay. Well, all right. I can deal with that. General Mills, David, had a number yesterday that actually, Blue Buffalo?
Blue Buffalo did very well, General Mills.
Yes, 16%. It's the first, David, pet... This is the year of pets. Elanco upgraded today. Very important upgrade. It is time to buy Elanco. Why? Because Elanco is humanization of pets. It's a Bank of America deal. They say they might be early. But, David, they bought the Bayer product. Bayer is probably, are they as good a seller as they are a buyer?
Man, I don't know. They're the worst buyer
of the year.
Bayer is the worst buyer.
Yeah, I like that.
They are. Monsanto, what we're talking about is the Monsanto deal, of course, which was a complete disaster for the German company that we like to call Bayer as opposed to Bayer.
Yeah, like Bayer aspirin.
Right.
Okay, so David, there was a ruling in the Fifth Circuit yesterday about the ACA.
Yeah.
And they, what they basically did is they punted. They pushed out the final.
Okay.
Excellent for Centene, which is nearing its high. And the whole group is rallying. People thought the group might go down on it. That was wrong. Point that out. People are thinking it's going to be analog devices with RF. That's not true. We did ConAgra. We did General Mills.
We did. We haven't talked about the NASDAQ hitting a new all-time high.
Well, it's not unlike what happened during the last impeachment.
NASDAQ. True.
That was the beginning of the NASDAQ taking off. A lot of the big stocks. Qualcomm was up huge. Remember, Qualcomm had that 1,000%, 2,000%.
Oh, my God. Qualcomm.
VeriSign was up 1,000% during that period.
It all, yeah. March 10th, 2000 is when it peaked, I believe.
No, March 15th.
It was March 10th. I think it was March 10th. I think that was the NASDAQ peak.
Okay, David, I want to talk
first
about...
First peak, not the second peak.
I want to talk about something...
This is the second
I want to talk
peak.
About well, we two don't. Stocks that are stalwarts during that period. Johnson & Johnson,
yes.
AAA balance sheet. Barclays
yes.
says it's time.
Okay.
I'm waiting for another talc, you know, assault by Reuters, who probably doesn't want to see this at a high. They're very good reports, actually. And then, David, Barclays upgrades Cisco.
Yeah.
Why is... Now, this is very great. So, do you know that Cisco is one of the top five stocks to buy during the trial of President Clinton? And here we go. Cisco, Barclays, could be one of the top five stocks to buy during the impeachment trial.
There's really nothing analogous between that and this period now, is
there?
Not
at all. No, I just thought that I just liked it.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
None whatsoever.
Did you happen to see this Instagram video that's been making the rounds recently of a cab driver who asked the guy in the back about what he did?
You have it? Can you
run
it?
Yeah, he was a hedge fund manager. It was actually taken a couple of months ago, but it only recently sort of started making the rounds. Have you heard of this guy? He's a UK-based fund manager.
Can we watch it?
Yeah, we can watch it. Name's Michael Platt. Fascinating, particularly when you make some of the statements that he did. But take a look, because this has been something that's been sent around a lot recently.
So my name is Michael Platt. And I must admit, it's an honor to be in the back of your taxi. In the world of finance, I'm the highest earning person in the world in finance.
You're the highest what?
Earning person in the world in finance.
Wow.
In the world.
So explain that to me.
So I'm a hedge fund manager, and I've transformed my fund into a personal investment vehicle because we made such high returns.
Wow.
And now it's... It's on the internet, on Forbes.
There you have it.
This was paid for by Elizabeth Warren. Now, that guy, who is obviously a Britisher, clearly has a humility problem. But that's the kind of thing that, Elizabeth Warren's sitting there trying to find the top 10 people who might rival him.
In the United States.
That man had hubris.
He claims it was a joke, but it didn't feel that way.
It didn't feel that way.
No, it didn't feel that way.
Well,
what he was doing in the back of a car that wasn't his own being driven by his own driver, I don't know. If you're the man who made the most money in finance.
Does it reflect poorly on Mark Zuckerberg?
Why?
Because that's what the New York Times would say. Everything reflects poorly on Mark Zuckerberg. Everything. Sacha Baron Cohen.
You bring up Sacha Baron Cohen a lot.
Well, because I found that speech chilling. That's the aid.
By the way, we should point out that Facebook shares are outperforming the broader market quite significantly this morning, up 1.2%, Jim.
The NASDAQ. How's a piece on Grubhub today? By Canaccord Genuity, that I disagree with entirely because of your friends at Masasan's shot.
DoorDash.
Yeah. spend anything. And then, David, I want to take a moment just to say what an idiot I am. I thought that Rite Aid would have a shortfall. That was completely and utterly wrong. As horrible as that hedge fund manager was in terms of hubris,
yes,
I'm going to go down into the depths of a hell's half acre and say that I was wrong. I didn't count Rite Aid ever.
Yeah, if you were lucky enough to have bought shares of Rite Aid yesterday, you're up 34% today. Now, the market value of this company is still below $1 billion. We know the struggles it's had, but they did have a far better quarter than previously.
And a lot of that, by the way, David, was same-store sales, 30-day equivalent, grew 2.8%. Front end only up 1%. By the way, Lisa Gill, who is a genius, who's at J.P. Morgan, raised her price target dramatically for CVS. That's Charlie Victor. That's not Backish, who you crushed the other day in an interview.
Did not crush him.
You didn't. You
Viacom
just,
shares have been rallying lately. In fact, it's having a very good
flow.
Week. Up 2.6% today, retracing
dying.
A lot of, making up a lot of the losses it had right after they did the deal.
Actually, no. It's up ever since Shari Redstone was seen in the box with Robert Kraft.
A game they lost.
In a game they lost.
Yeah.
Like, not unlike the games they're about to lose, because it is Lamar Jackson's era. I've got some stuff on Lamar Jackson, but we'll take
all
it
right. You know, why don't you get that out, and I'm going to turn to Pisani.
Danaher, David.
Okay, that's great,
the
Jim.
Story of the year. And now they're about to get, you know, they're about to get Larry Culp's largesse. Meanwhile, Culp, Teflon. Oh no, you can't say Teflon anymore because that's got that chemical that poisoned all the water.
PFAS. Yeah.
All right, I'm going to let you take it over there. PFAS.
Let's get to Bob Pisani. We're going to talk amongst ourselves here while you tell us what else is going on this morning, Bob.
That's great. I'll distract everybody else while you guys figure it out. The important thing about today, we're still up. AB line still positive, although the leadership, the recent leadership, a little flatter. So let's take a look at the sectors. Communication services strong with Twitter's up today, Facebook, Netflix doing well. Consumer staples doing well. Conagra had very good numbers. It's pulling up consumer staples. Semis flattish, although Micron, very importantly, good numbers, and talked about a bottoming in the memory chip business. Again, we're looking for signs of bottom. That overall is positive. China has had a great month. Emerging markets, weaker dollar, great month. But you see here, flattish, giving back some of the gains there. December 19th last year, do you remember that day? This was the day the Fed raised interest rates. What was it, the fourth time? And what an ugly day. Look at this. This is December of last year, and here's where they raised the interest rates, and we just sort of cascaded down for the next several days going into, remember, December 24th? Ay, worst December 24th ever. We bounced a little bit. We were down 11% by this time, the close of December 19th last year, and of course, a very different picture this year. S&P is up 1.5% here, put up for December here, and of course, we're essentially sitting at new highs. Very, very different picture, completely in the opposite direction. One of the things that's happened that's very noticeable recently has been, let's call it a reflation trade. I don't want to go too far on this, but oil's up 10% this month. This is the month. We're over $60. Copper's up 5 or 6%. Oil and gas exploration production, which was at the bottom for multi-year bottoms, up 14% this month. Metals and mining stocks have had a bounce. This is a modest reflation trade. I think that's fair to say. Global markets have looked better as well. The last couple of days, we have come off 52-week highs, but emerging markets had a great month overall. Europe was at 52-week highs, just off of that slightly. Japan also at 52-week highs, as yields in Japan have essentially moved towards flat lining. That's quite a move up, considering they were down in September significantly. Even the European yields have moved to the upside overall. Here in the United States, sectors here, semiconductors had a good month. Banks, great month, as we've seen yields increase and the yield curve steepen. China, as I mentioned, up 6%. And here's the outlier. Industrials down 1%. And here's where you got to be very careful about market cap weighted indexes, because the big stuff, when it has sector or company specific issues, really smacks around the indexes. Because if you take a look at what happened in the industrials for this month, it's Boeing and FedEx. And if it wasn't for Boeing and FedEx, two companies with very, very company specific issues, as we pointed out time and time again, all the other major global industrials, your Stanley Black & Decker, your Deere, Illinois Toolworks, it's Caterpillar, it doesn't matter. They're all not only up this month, most of them are outperforming the S&P 500. So again, just be very careful when you look at some of these market cap weighted indexes. Overall, been a very, very different December. David, back to you.
Thank you, Bob. Bob Pisani. Let's head to the bond pits now. Check in with Rick Santelli at the CME Group in Chicago. Rick.
Good morning, David. Well, if you were to look at the data we brought out this morning, you would not think that yields would be firm, but they were actually firm before the data. We had definitely a soft Philly Fed, initial claims didn't fall as much as those that are watching thought seasonal adjustments would account for based on Thanksgiving. But the whole month is basically holiday seasonally adjusted, and so we're not going to get our GPS. But whether you're looking at our markets and interest rates or across the globe, long-end rates are rising. It isn't necessarily just fundamentals. There's a year-end effect. And, of course, Riksbank Sweden kind of forsaking negative rates, which makes rates everywhere else more popular that are on the positive side. But nonetheless, we're moving higher. Look at a two-day of tens. See how we've taken out yesterday? Zoom it out to a week. We're testing levels we've seen a few times in the mid-190s. Open it up to June. You can see we're about to break through the levels we haven't closed at since July. But I guess the reason I'm getting so excited is look what's going on with Boons. Here's a two-day of Boons. Today they had an intraday trade of minus 20. Zoom out to November 1st. We took out that early November high yield close. And as Bob was saying, you know, we're basically flat to approaching zero in Japanese government bonds. But yet that's higher. Well, minus 23 high in November doesn't sound high, but it is. And now we look to be taking that out, going back as we zoom to July. And if you zoom all the way year to date on Boons, you can see it's going to have room to breathe. We want to pay close attention to the spread between R10s and Boons as the world recalibrates. And while all this is going on, one of the forces is, you know, whether it's junk bonds, triple C, or barely investment grade, triple A, everything is in vogue. We see the spreads, how much extra above treasuries investors are willing to take, and it isn't growing, it's shrinking, and that is giving a bit of a lack of bid actually to treasuries and some of these global sovereigns, hence maybe some of the selling. David and Jim, back to you.
Okay, Rick, thank you. Coming up, President Trump's post-impeachment economic agenda. We're going to have the Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin join us. We'll discuss, of course, the trade deal, USMCA, not just China. Squawk on the Street. We'll be right back. So look at Micron, as you can see, still up, though not as much as it was in the early going. This after reported better than expected quarterly results. It is up more than 70%, that being the stock so far this year. Stay tuned. We're going to have an exclusive with Micron CEO Sanjay Marotta. That is coming up on Squawk Alley. Up next, though, Stop Trading with Jim. All right, let's get to Jim for a Stop Trading here.
Sometimes I like to measure the strength of a market by what happens in a downgrade. Needham downgrades Boston Scientific, a very good company. They go to buy, removing from the conviction list, and it's barely down. The medical device equipment stocks have all been on fire. A lot of that is because of the change in the tax, but it just shows you just don't short this market when it comes to the hot groups. BSX, very good. Zimmer Biomet, ZBH, upgrade.
So, I mean, also potentially lumped in with the Warren rally, as I like to call it, as her poll numbers came down. So much of healthcare went up.
People don't understand that the bottom came in this group exactly when she peaked, and it's been straight up. And there, UNH is the way to measure it, because UNH is considered villainous because it's so big. I am the UNH person, and
yes,
I'm happy.
Actually, well, we're moving off UNH at Comcast. You know that, right?
I'm not.
Oh, you're not with us.
No. Yeah. Do you use Teladoc?
No.
No?
You have your own health plan.
Teladoc's
very good.
Your
own tailors, your own suits. You're not part of the plan at all.
David, you know what? Feel this. It's like butter.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Nando Lakes is what I call
it. What do you got
suit.
Coming up there, Mr. Soupman, on Mad Money
tonight?
I've
got Emergent Bio Solutions. They make Narcan. Do you know what Narcan is?
I do.
Thank heavens, you know.
I do.
Wow. Robert Kramer, he is not related because mine spelled with a C. Made at Packer, Packer Avenue, when you got in from immigrants from Philadelphia.
Got it.
But you're Oregon Avenue.
You here Eagles tomorrow? You're here tomorrow.
Yeah, David, I'm a fixture.
Eyes open.
I am a fixture,
mouth
David.
Open. It's all open.
15,000 words.
15,000 words a day.
So
try that
you.
At home.
You've been listening to the opening bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.